This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the Rangers Rabble podcast. And for the first time this season, and I'm delighted to say we are back with the Rangers Academy review. William, my friend, it's good to see you. How are you? How have you been?
Hi, good, mate. It's weird sitting in the house with a bit of sunshine coming in, especially because it's sounding like I'm absolutely soaked going to work this morning. So Scottish weather never ceases to amaze me.
No, and we're going to talk about sunshine. Ironically, because me and you were in Dundee and I've never seen sunshine like it.
That was crazy yesterday. Like, I missed like two of the goals because the sun was so low that you physically just couldn't actually see what was going on. But I have to say, the stand at Foundation Park, as it is now, rather than Gussie Park, that makes a huge difference. And I've got to say, the pitch as well as the stand is excellent there. A big, big difference for the players as well, to be honest.
It is. But we'll dive right in then with the under-18, shall we? Because this is the first show we've done this season, which seems mental considering how much we've done last season, but because it's the first, we're not going to go through, obviously, every single under-18s game there's been. And we said this off camera, and we'll say it now, I don't want to focus too much attention on the under-18s because I don't think it's fair. Young boys, they're going to be inconsistent and stuff like that. But in terms of a group, then, shall we say, compared to last season, how are the under-18s looking? Sorry, my throat's gone.
It's weird. Like, the players will probably say the same thing, and the parents that go to the games will probably say the same thing. And the word is like inconsistency. I mean, it was bonkers. Like, the start to the season, for instance, we beat Dundee United 2-0 in the opening game of the season, which you were obviously up at the training ground, but that kind of went either way. We then rocked up to play Motherwell away, and we lost 5-2 away from home. We then beat St Mirren next up 3-0, which we actually played probably really well that night, if memory serves me right. We then lost to Celtic at Rangers training ground. Then we lost to Hibs at the training ground. And then the Motherwell team that had beat us a couple of weeks before, 5-2, we beat them 2-1. And you just can't fathom that out. We then play Kilmarnock and lose 4-2. And then we go on a kind of wee run of playing some good football against, I think it was Queen's Park. And I'm trying to see if we can check it on here. I think it was Queen's Park we played well against. But then we lost a couple of games back-to-back against Hearts. And then also since then, we've went to kind of Lennox Town and beat Celtic in their own patch. We beat a good Hearts team 1-0. We beat Hamilton 6-4 in one of the craziest games that me and you had watched, probably. That was, how bad were Rangers in that first half? It was just hard to fathom.
Shocking.
Yeah, it was shocking, actually. Second half, they were incredible. They then beat a young Aberdeen team 4-2. Lost 2-0 at Killie. which apparently was one of our poorest performances. I wasn't at that game because I was working. Then another high-scoring game against Hamilton, that was 5-3. And then yesterday, obviously we lost to Dundee United, who did deserve to win the game. There's no getting away from the fact Rangers didn't deserve to win it. But it's the inconsistency of performances this season that's just, it's baffling, really. Because I do think there's a lot of talent within the group, but for some reason, we just don't seem to be able to string 3, 4, 5 performances together. And sometimes they can't even do it back-to-back. Like, sometimes they struggle to play well in two games. And I just don't know how to explain it to people, because that group is a good group and there's a lot of talent within it. But for whatever reason, they just seem incapable of playing well consistently over a range of games.
Can we put that down to age, though? Because, I mean, obviously, look, we're not going to sit here and judge which is a kind of fairly young group in terms of under-18s. There's a lot of 16-year-olds in there. There's a few 17-year-olds. You know, is it just a case of, you know, obviously, look, Rangers, you want Rangers to win it under fours, right? Never mind the first team. Of course, you want Rangers to win at every level. But is it not a case of, this is a young group, it's under-18s, it's not always the result that matters?
Yeah, of course. I mean, and look, so a player development is important, because at the end of the day, you know, and everybody's aware of it, it's not like every single one of the starting 11 is going to play for Rangers. There's, you know, the chances are that one of those guys might make it. So just one out of that entire squad, even the guys that maybe are on the bench some games, you know, we'll be lucky if one of those players makes it. And that is like the brutal reality of football at this level. But yeah, like, as a young group, I mean, like, there is a lot of 16-year-olds that moved up last year. But I still think at Rangers there is just that level of expectancy that they're going to do. I mean, like, they're sitting second in the league, so they've not had, like, a shocking season, if you like the actual, like, sort of league table. It's the fact that we have played 18 games, we've won 10 and we've lost 8. You know, so, like, there's no happy medium there. Like, we don't seem capable of drawing games. You know, and we've conceded whatever it was, like 40, 41 goals this season in 18 games. I mean, that is diabolical. And I don't think we're actually the worst defensively, but it just feels like every game we seem to concede some really poor goals at times. And maybe that's just a sign of players learning, players developing. But the only worry would be, and this has came from other parents as well that I've spoken to, is that we've sometimes lost the same kind of goal back to back to back. So maybe we're not learning from the mistakes that we're making. But yet again, I don't want to be overly critical of the group, because
there's been a lot of change though as well, William. I mean, we've got to look at, obviously, Cameron Campbell's away.
Yeah.
So it's now Stephen Smith and Jonathan Johansson, I believe.
Yeah.
Who are the kind of main, I know Rangers have got this mad technical name. They don't like it. Don't like them being called managers or head coaches or whatever like that. But it's kind of Stephen Smith and Jonathan Johansson are kind of in charge of the group.
Yeah, it's a bit fluid, isn't it? Obviously, Cameron's been in there at times. Obviously, Brian Gilmore's been part of that group. David McCallum kind of oversees the 18s in that he's always at the games watching. In reality, look, at the end of the day, once the players cross that white line, it's down to them. I mean, the one thing you don't really see during the games, I mean, I don't know if you obviously notice that you're obviously kind of watching your brother most of the time at Dundee United, but when you're watching, like, Rangers games, I don't tend to hear a lot of stuff coming from the coaching staff. It's just all, like, they leave it to the players to like, change the problems on the pitch, and I'm not too sure that's always a good thing.
Because, well, that was completely opposite from Dundee United yesterday. And let's take yesterday as the example, I suppose, because, you know, it's the most recent data that we've got. But the Dundee United coaches never shut up. They're always barking out orders or instructions or encouragement. And like you say, the Rangers bench is pretty much mute.
Yeah, and it's. I mean, I don't know if it's the same things that they had previously, but I know the kind of rule, or it wasn't really a rule, it was just kind of something that was kind of agreed that if something was happening on the pitch, they left it to the players to resolve it. But for a lot of these players, they've not experienced a lot of the things that's maybe happened this season. So surely the coaches should be allowed to coach the players. Mm. And it's not like they're not getting a chance to, like, to say something during the game, but it feels like they wait until half-time to speak to the players. I mean, we obviously spoke about the Hamilton game, for instance, where in that first half, there was one or two kind of blatantly obvious things that were wrong, but we didn't seem to like do anything about it until halftime. And by that time, the game could have been gone, and it probably should have been gone. But then Rangers...
If it wasn't for the fact that's a really poor Hamilton, that's not fair. It's not the same Hamilton team as last season.
No, they've lost a lot of talented footballers to teams in England, which is basically the same for every club in Scotland kind of year on year now. But it's like, as it's hard to explain, and it's just annoying at times, because you know the ability is in the group and there is a lot of quality within it. Obviously, we have kind of lost kind of players from time to time to the B team, like Josh Gentles that somebody was asking about there in the comments. Josh in the main has played for the B team this year, but he is still only 16. I would imagine yet again he'll drop back into the 18s at points during the season like he has done. He might even
maybe a semi-final, William.
I think that's a certainty. I mean, like, obviously we were laughing about that yesterday. I mean, if you actually look at, there could be upwards of 7 changes to that one yesterday. You know, if you actually look at the Rangers starting the 11, you could have Mason Munn could come back in, Leighton Grant could come back in, Bailey Rice, Paul Encio, Josh Gentles, Zach Lovelace and Archie Stevens. All of those guys could play in that Scottish Youth Cup semi-final. And like the other side of that argument would be, well, what's that saying to all the guys that played yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Is that then that they're not good enough, then when it comes to a semi-final and Rangers need to win it, 7 of those guys are getting hooked out the team? And that's the difficulty, mate. And it's one of those ones. Some people will say it's good because it's all about Rangers winning. The other side would say, well, it's about development. And, you know, like Rangers couldn't play much worse than they did yesterday, for instance. So, like, they could only get better. But I just think the mindset is still, it's a cup semi-final. Rangers can make it to the final. If all of those players are available to play, then they will play. But you know, people can make up their own mind on that.
Oh, yeah, but let's look ahead to the semi-final before we go into the B team. Obviously, there's loads to cover with the B team. It's been a massive change this season from last. And we'll get into that, and we'll get into some individual players now, like Josh, etc. And we'll talk about them, Archie Stevens. We'll get to all that. Looking ahead to the semi-final, there was the opportunity to play to Ibrox, I believe, William. I believe Rangers offered Dundee United a date. I don't know if you can confirm, deny, or whatever on that, but Dundee United turned it down.
Yeah, look, we were obviously coming up at the training ground the other day there, and we did ask about the cup semi-final because we hadn't heard, obviously, what was happening with that. Because in previous years, teams have always tried to play it at the first team venue. So we obviously asked, is the game going to be played at Ibrox? And we were told basically that Rangers had offered a date. I think it was like the 15th of March to play the game. So it would have been a fortnight after the original date, which was supposed to be the first. We were told that Dundee United had turned that request down and asked that they play the game on the first. And because of that, it's then impossible to play the game at Ibrox because Rangers are playing at home at 3 o'clock on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way they could have played the game on Friday at 7:45 and then had the pitch in perfect condition for the next day, realistically. Especially the rain that looks as though it's coming the next few days. Because like, you never know how badly the pitch is going to be kind of eating up and things like that ahead of games. And if you're going to play additional games, given the weather at this time of year, you just don't know. Whereas I think with the 15th, there was a bit of a gap like between home games, and it would have been enough to play it type thing. But it's disappointing. The training ground's not the same as Ibrox, clearly. And I think, I mean, I can't speak for like the players, clearly, but I think it would have been better for the players to be playing at Ibrox.
100%.
And it obviously stops the issues of how many people can turn up at the training ground and watch the game. Because the reality is, if every single Dundee United parents want to turn up and watch the game, as well as all the Rangers parents, and then you've obviously got, as you're well aware, the people that come from, you know, agencies, scouts, etc., etc. I don't know if the stand at the training ground is big enough to hold all the people that's going to be at that game, and that is possibly the only concern with a massive game like that being played at the Rangers training centre. But
this is going to be one of the issues. I've obviously got the option of getting a ticket from each side, if you like, but It would be remiss of me then not to preview the semi-final without mentioning, obviously, yesterday's game.
Yeah, yeah.
And how well the kind of run at Dundee United are on. They're playing really well. And I would probably get murdered if I didn't mention the best player on the park, who just happened to be the Dundee United number 7, Wally Adam Carnwath.
Yeah, and Ross, your mother told me how to spell that yesterday as well. Just in case I said it wrong, clearly. No, Adam was outstanding yesterday. His first goal was a moment of brilliance, in all honesty. Great skill, great trickery, really good finish. We really struggled to basically stop Adam from playing. And look, sometimes you've got to say that the better team won the game, and Dundee United were the better team. Adam was the best player on the pitch. And that's just how it is sometimes. Sometimes you'll come up against a team. I mean, people will look at the, you know, people look at the league table, for instance, and say, oh, but Dundee United were bottom until yesterday. But Dundee United are not a team that are a bottom of the table team.
Mm-hmm.
But yet again, it comes to the consistency thing, doesn't it, with young players, that Dundee United didn't start the season very well. But obviously, recently, having spoke to you, they've been on a pretty decent run. They've been playing a bit better. They're showing a bit more.
11 games without defeat, I believe it is, yeah, now.
So, but then that's football, isn't it? And then the thing is with young players, sometimes if you've added quite a few new bodies to the group, it can be difficult to maybe settle in and get used to playing with each other. And then, obviously, there's a lot of upheaval going on as well, with maybe some boys being taken out of that group and moved into the first team to sit on the bench. Like Adam's obviously been on the bench. He's then actually come on for the first team. So there can be a multitude of things. And yet again, you can go back to the argument. Zach Lovelace is still eligible to play the entire season with the 18s, as is Bailey Rice, and so is Mason Munn. Rangers just choose not to play them.
Which was going to be my next point then. See, because of what happened yesterday, because it's a semi-final, regardless of what age group it is, it's a semi-final, William. And like you say, it might not be fair on the boys who have been playing, you know, the majority of games for our under-18s team, right? I get that. I completely understand that. But then the boys who have been regularly playing for our under-18s against that Dundee United team yesterday proved that, you know, that Dundee United team looked better. So is that maybe then the coaches can turn around and say, well, you're not playing in the semi-final because you haven't been good enough?
Well, you could argue it's just like the first team. If you don't put in a performance, there's a high likelihood you're not playing in the next game. Obviously, for instance, Rangers play Queen's Park before the Cup semi-final, but yeah, if you look at the Dundee United game yesterday, see if players had played well. It then gives the manager something to think about. Like he's got to sit there and say, well, for instance, if somebody like Finlay Curtis had a really good game, right? That's fine then. Finlay will be part of the squad for the semi-final. Not many players come off the pitch yesterday having done themselves justice. Mm-hmm. Maybe apart from one or two. And that's like the problem yesterday gives the coaching staff. Because it's now easy to just turn around and go, right, Zach, Archie, Bailey, Mason, Paul, blah, blah, blah. Yous are all playing in the Cup semi-final. And then the guys that played yesterday then miss out in the semi-final and they'll all be devastated because they all want to play in the big games and they want to play at Hampden if they get to the final type thing. But not many of them could probably complain after yesterday because they probably didn't do enough to deserve to be in the team for the semi-final, and that's the brutal nature of football. Yet again, like, I use that word a lot because football, in my opinion, is brutal. And yesterday probably made it easier for the coaching staff to now look across and say, well, you know, we will use Mason, and we will use Leighton Grant, and we will use Bailey Rice, because
Zach needs minutes as well. And we're going to come on to that. We'll move on for the 18s because we could be here. Me and you, honestly, we say we're only going to do 5 or 10 minutes, and then we end up doing a whole hour.
No, but I'll get rid of 6 to watch another game tonight. So we saw,
I know, you're going to see the 60s. I know. I probably shouldn't say this live on a podcast, right? Albeit we don't get the numbers that a reaction gets for the academy stuff. That's the very, very first time in my life I've ever smiled at a goal that Rangers have conceded. That's all I'm going to say. It's the very, very first time in my life.
See, at the end of the day, sometimes you appreciate a good goal, and I've seen some good goals this year at 18s level from obviously teams that are playing against Rangers. I've been to all their academy games that haven't been involved in Rangers because I'm obviously local to Renfrewshire. I sometimes pop along and see St Mirren playing, stuff like that. And look, you appreciate good goals, and Adam's goal yesterday, I don't know if Dundee United will post that type of thing. I don't know if they do that, but you know, if that's something that, you know, you can put out on the Twitter page to show the goal. I mean, it was a phenomenal goal for Adam. If somebody had scored that at first team level, then people would be talking about it because it was that.
That's plenty. The boy's head's big enough.
I know he's already got a big head enough after yesterday.
He does. Plus, he's taller than me. Super chat. Thank you very much, Beep. I'll get to some of the comments in a wee second. There's a few people asking about you, William, and I don't know if you'll be able to answer them, but we'll get to that. I'd like to see if we can get Neil McFarlane from Brentford to replace David McCallum. You might remember him as the goon from Dunoon, a Rangers fan. David McCallum getting a bit of stick there. Is that fair?
Well, David obviously doesn't really take to do with the, you know, with the 80s in terms of obviously the actual coaching within the games. I mean, he obviously is mainly part of the B team. But I mean, I've obviously spoke to you privately away. I mean, there has been some chatter that we might see more change this summer at the academy.
And we've already seen quite a lot.
Yeah, we have, mate. We've seen some of the academy coaches leave, like some of the younger age group academy coaches leave. If Cameron Campbell leave, obviously Brian Gilmore now basically is part of the first team. I would never say never. I would never say never. I think come the summer we will see some change, whether that's David McCallum, whether it's Malky, whether it's Stephen, whether it's Jonathan Johansson or anybody else, I don't know, but the kind of feeling that I get is that we will see more change. And look, something like Neil McFarlane, obviously down at Brentford, they do it right, don't they? You know, they've got a B team, but they can fund the B team a lot more. They can spend a lot more money sending the players all over the world to play in competitions. And I believe that Rangers are actually going to be playing Brentford soon up at the training ground in several weeks' time. So, because obviously we were due to play them before Christmas, but then because of the heavy snow, their train was cancelled. So they couldn't actually play the game. So I believe they're due to play Rangers in like maybe 3 weeks' time or so up at the training ground. But obviously a lot can happen. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I don't think that's out of the realms of possibility that could happen, to be honest.
Well, there's quite a few people like RFC 72. We really need to upgrade our coaching managers in the youths to progress. William is saying David McCallum has been there too long, in my opinion, and he's not really got anybody through. I think a bit of change there would help. I'm not sure see if we get somebody in who's a million times better at the job than David McCallum. And I don't think David McCallum's doing a bad job at Rangers, by the way. But that doesn't necessarily mean, William, that you're all of a sudden going to get loads of players coming through into first team.
Like, I think the thing that is part of the game now is that people are now used to change. You know, like in the past, everybody felt like your manager should be there for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. I think those days are coming to an end in football. In the main, you know, unless you're a top manager like a Guardiola or a Klopp or a Sir Alex Ferguson, etc. If you look at all the other teams throughout Europe now, many, many of the coaches are gone every second or third year. And that's probably the reality for Philip Clement as well, because if Philip Clement does well for Rangers, he's going to get offers for other teams who can offer him a lot more on a transfer budget. They'll pay him more wages. Yet again, I use the word, it's a brutal nature of football. There's always somebody above you that will give you more, mm-hmm. you know. And this is the thing. Some people will look at our coachings and think that we can do better. And obviously, we've seen upheaval, obviously, at the club with guys like Craig Mulholland leaving, Craig Robertson moving up to the first team role. We've obviously seen some coaches leave as well this season. So, yeah, look, change is always going to come about. And I do think we will see change, but I don't have any insight into who's leaving. And if I did, I probably wouldn't say it, to be fair, because I don't think that's right to put things like that out there before the club announce it. But yeah. I think at the end of the day, I do think we will see change in the summer. Whether it's massive change or it's just one or two things happening in the background, let's just see what happens, I suppose. But I don't disagree with what some people are saying. Possibly change might be a good thing. Maybe fresh ideas, fresh training stuff. Because let's be honest about it, a bit like in life, sometimes change is a good thing.
Sometimes change is a good thing. But Mama, she tells me that I need to change and stop eating as much and go on a diet. That's never a good thing. That is never a good thing.
I bought 3 pies here today because the Kelly pies are down to £1.50 in my work, so I bought 2 of them today.
Other works are available. I'm not.
I feel like I'm not going to like. I do like a pucker pie as well.
I don't like them. Don't like pucker. I like a Kelly pie. I don't like a pucker pie. we're not here to talk about. We're not here to talk about Kelly pies and pucker pies. We're here to talk about Rangers youth. So B team then, William. Right. Oh, so much changed this season with the B team.
Yeah.
First of all, obviously, we're no longer in the Lowland League. Mm-hmm. We now are, and there was a lot of talk about what's going to happen with the B team. How they're going to get fixtures. How they're going to get games. So it's now obviously the best versus best. So two-part question. Firstly, has it been beneficial at all to move away for the Lowland League? Or should we have stayed in it? Should we look to get back into it? And secondly, for people out there who obviously don't know, what is best versus best?
Well, I suppose that's up to the individual to decide what's best versus best, because when I sometimes post the graphics that Andy does saying best versus best Rangers against Carlisle, people don't see that as best. I think possibly they could have chosen a better term rather than best versus best, because I don't think this season you could argue that too many of the games have been that. Has the best versus best games, that they like to call them, better than the Lowland League? That's up for debate. Massively up for debate, to be honest. I always try and choose my words wisely, because I don't want to say something, because I've always been getting into trouble over the years for saying stuff that I should do. So
let it all out, William. Let it out.
No, look, the simple reality is, see the people that are online criticising it, I can't really say that they're not wrong, because it probably hasn't been what it should have been. And at times, the standard of the opposition probably hasn't been what it should have been as well. Some of the better games this season would have probably been like sort of Leeds United away, which I thought was a really good test. I thought it was a really good game. I thought both teams played well that day. Playing Bohemians first team, I thought that was an excellent game. You know, they were really good. They were strong. They were physical. And our boys don't really get that kind of test. But yeah, again, we've played other games that, in all honesty, they just haven't been very good. And I don't really know. I don't really think you can say that they've been good if they've not been. Like, I always try to be honest when I speak about things. Like, yesterday I was honest enough to say that Rangers weren't good enough to win the game. And there's games that we've played in the B team this season that haven't been very good. And that's just the simple reality of it. They've not been a test. It's probably been a waste of time. And there's been problems where we've went like 3 or 4 weeks without a game. And yeah, in my honest opinion, that's totally unacceptable, that a club our size is going that length of time without games.
Especially when that's your direct access to basically your reserve team for the first team. You can't have players going 3 and 4 weeks without playing.
Yeah, look, there's also been a lot of criticism that people could attend the games in the Lowland League this season. Rangers at the start of the season said that they would allow supporters in to watch games, that tickets would be available for games, and that's not really happened. I do think this year's been a disappointment. I think it's possibly been a disappointment for some of the players as well, that maybe the quality of opposition hasn't been what it could have been. But look, that's how it is. If this is the last time you see me covering the academy, then it's probably because of this podcast. But no, in all seriousness, it's, if anybody wants to criticise the best versus best, I'm not going to sit and argue with them about it to say that it's right or wrong, because it's very much open to opinion. And and so far this season, I don't think it's been what it could have or should have been. Would the Lowland League have been better? Yeah, again, the Lowland League had its good moments and bad moments, Martin, didn't it? I mean, we played some opposition that me and you could have probably been out in the pitch, to be honest.
Aye.
You know, and that's not, like, sort of meaning it in a cheeky or disrespectful way, but...
But it was competitive games, though, regardless of the opposition. You were playing for something. You can have as many friendlies as you want, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing beats
one of the things that we were told was that they weren't happy with the amount of games that were played that season. I can't remember if it was season one or season two. When we played in the UEFA Youth League, we played in the Lowland League. We did really well in the Challenge Cup. And then, obviously, we had boys away in international duty and all these other things. So I think over the season, like, some players had played over 50 games. But my argument with that is that, well, if you play for the Rangers first team, you're going to be playing 50 games this season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's an expectation that you'll be good enough to play 50 games this season. So I mean, it's one of those endless debates, mate. Has it been better than the Lonely League in terms of the standard? Yes, in some of the games. But has it been what it could have and should have been? In my opinion, no.
But then that's not great for the... I mean, regardless of what your opinion is, you know, sometimes to go 3-4 weeks without a game, to play games against opposition that really you shouldn't be playing, we are supposed to be trying to bring through the next Barry Ferguson, you know, even if you want to go as far as to say the next Nathan Patterson, regardless of, you know, Nathan Patterson played for 5 minutes and then went for a big fee, I get that. But we're supposed to be trying to bring through the next player into the first team. And it feels a little bit as if they've took their eye off the ball this season.
Well, I mean, I've got my phone here, right? So, like, I'll look at some of the games we've played this season. I'll run through them quickly. If people want to ask a question, I've probably got another 10 or 15 minutes before I need to go. But so we've played teams like Dundee, Fleetwood Town under 21s. We've played Crusaders and Bangor. They were kind of pre-season games. We've played Manchester City under 21s away. We played Blackpool under 21s up here. We played Manchester United under 21s, which was actually a really good game. The Monaco B game is at Ibrox. I think obviously quite a few people would have seen that. They played Breidablik, who were an Icelandic team. We've played Hearts B, Huddersfield Town under 21s, played Real Betis away before the main game. We've played like Leeds United, we've played Queen's Park, Bohemians, Bolton Wanderers B, we've played Carlisle. So it's a mix of good and bad. I mean, that's all I could really honestly say. It's a mix of good and bad. But it's trying to strike a balance. And I mean, I think the comment for William there is fair as well. See, like the 50 games a season is a bit much. But the problem on the other side of it is even these young kids step up and like they're in the first team, then the expectation for most fans is that you'll have to play 50 games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the... But yeah, look, it's trying to strike that balance. How many games is enough? Is it 30 games a season? Is it 40 games a season? I think it is a difficult one. And yet again, like, these things are all open to debate because it's going to be down to the individual as to how many times they think that a player should play over a season. With sports science now and the work that goes on like behind the scenes with the analytics and stuff like that, clearly now, like, I mean, obviously Clermont seems to rotate the squad more because of the amount of games that we play in the first team. So should that happen like below there? Yet again, these are debates that could go on forever. And it's going to be down to the individual, as I said, because it depends. Like, if you're a parent, you want your boy to play every game. So when your boy drops out of the team and he's on the bench, you're probably saying, you know, why is my boy not playing? My boy's one of the best players in the team. How's he not playing today? But the coach will say, well, you know, we're giving him a break. He doesn't want a break. He wants to play. Do you know what I mean? So, like, you can never win for losing, if you know what I mean, like, regardless of what you do.
No, it's 100%. And, you know, Stevenson, the club are missing a trick. These lads need to be playing to a decent crowd because there isn't an atmosphere like Ibrox in the world. And I get that point of view, but you only had to go to the B-team games when they were playing in the Lowland League and you were maybe getting, what, 200-300 people max.
I mean, some of the bigger games you were probably getting maybe like 400-600 people. Obviously, the games at Ibrox and Parkhead were great in terms of the capacity crowds. But the reality is, because Rangers play so many games on that pitch, the ground staff as well as, you know, the manager and things like that have to accept at times that maybe there could be one or two more games played at Ibrox. I think they could have done more this season to play more games at Ibrox than just the one that we've really had.
And I
do think the Cup semi-final is a big disappointment, if I'm totally honest. But
well, we can blame Dundee United for that. Let's just blame them.
See, at the end of the day, see between the two clubs, I would like to have thought they would have come to some type of agreement, but clearly that's just not going to happen. So
no. Let's talk about some players then. And by the way, this comes up every single one of these shows that we do, William, when it comes to the Academy, that, you know, the club should show more, not under-18s games. We know how the club feel about making those games watchable, but B-team games more should be put on Rangers TV or whatever. Even if you made it a subscription where you pay an extra pound on top of your £6 and you get B-team games or whatever, the club should make that viable.
Well, sure, me and you asked Craig Mulholland about this obviously before Craig left the club. We kind of banged on about it quite a few times, didn't we, at Dumbarton? Could the club do more? Now, I think one of the problems in the Lowland League was that Saturday at 3 o'clock, they just couldn't show them live. There was just no, because of the whole like legal thing with the 3 o'clock kickoffs. The
3 o'clock blackout, yeah.
In terms of the best versus best, there isn't really anything stopping the club from showing those games.
No, there's not.
Well, I don't know what it costs Rangers to stream those games. That's something that can maybe be brought up, like sort of potentially to the club. And if I'm totally honest, it's not the same with Zeb as it was with Craig. You know, they're two quite different characters. So I don't know if going to somebody like Zeb and actually asking him that would be beneficial or not. I don't know who we would ask at the club for that. Is it a question that needs to be brought up at an AGM? Is it really important enough to be brought up at an AGM? These are all the things. But yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think more could be done to screen some of the games. I do think more could be done to like push, you know, what's going on at the club. But yeah, again, I'm not really in charge of these type of things, so it's really difficult. And yet again, like, you sometimes kind of think to yourself, you don't really want to step out of line, be asking too much, because, you know, they're gracious enough to let you into the games to watch them. So
you don't want to rock the boat. I get it. You don't want to rock the boat.
I guess, look, see, at the end of the day, you know, I've been fortunate over the years to get access to games that maybe a lot of others haven't been. So I do consider myself very fortunate. I always try to kind of, you know, like, do what I can. You know, I try to do the updates whenever the club allow me to. You know, I obviously did the podcast for a few years trying to update people what was going on, and I thought the Lowland League was good because it gave people an opportunity to come and watch the games, which I think, speaking to a lot of people at the games, obviously we bumped into people at matches when we were covering them that they thought it was good, it was exciting, they got to meet some of the young boys. Some of the guys were outside signing autographs and signing, you know,
I ended up with cramp. I was signing that many autographs, Willie.
I know, mate, you were up there. And then the good side of it is, like, you then kind of built a relationship up with people. You obviously kind of built up a relationship talking to Davey McCallum a lot. You obviously kind of built up a relationship with Craig Mulholland. You got to know Craig Robertson. You got to know Louise, obviously, because she was always at the stadium. Like, you don't really have any of that now. Like, that's kind of gone. No. So, you know, look, at the end of the day, will things ever be the same as they were before? I don't think so. And yet again, you get back to change. Sometimes change is good, sometimes it's not. And I think coming out of the Lowland League to play in the best versus best this season, it's probably not been what it could have been.
No. Let's talk about some players then.
Yep.
Zach Lovelace is always at the forefront of everybody's minds, William, when it comes to players breaking through into the first team. How has Zach been this season, and should we be a little bit worried about his injury record?
Yeah, look, he was really unfortunate because he played really well that day against St Mirren, didn't he, for the first team, and then obviously he ends up missing like 3-4 months of football. You know, I bumped into Zach a few times up at the training ground. He's such a nice guy. You know, sort of really pleasant, always kind of happy to see. He always seems like he's smiling. Maybe he just does that when he sees me. I mean, maybe I'm just one of the guys, I don't know. But, I mean, in all seriousness, it's great to have Zach back. He's a really good player. He's a game changer. He's got that power, that pace. He's got technical ability. He can drive at players. He can play on the left, can play on the right, can play through the middle. He's certainly somebody that will be in the manager's eye line, I would imagine, once he's fully up to speed again. But, yeah, again, like, Zach's only got a year and a bit left in his contract, so that's yet again another thing that's up for debate. You know, if Zach maybe doesn't see himself getting closer to the first team, he might feel that maybe change is necessary as well. And I think that's...
Well, I was going to ask you that, William. That's exactly what I was going to put to you. The fact that he's only got a year and a bit left in his contract, you know, I mean, this is a boy who's obviously played first team football for Millwall as well. So he's no stranger to first team football, I should say. So is it a case then that Rangers have got to be careful here? You know, if we don't show this boy an avenue and show him it rather quickly, we could lose him.
Yeah. I mean, the simple answer is yes. Because at the end of the day, players want to know that they're going to get a chance. And Zach didn't come up here not thinking he was going to play for the first team.
Mm-hmm.
And if Zach hadn't got injured that day against St Mirren, he might well have already been part of our first team for the last 3 or 4 months. Because you look at what's happened to Ross McCausland since then. You know, Ross has took his chance. He's now signed an improved contract. He signed a contract extension when his contract was out in the summer. And before Ross had made it into the first team, there was a lot of chat that maybe Ross would have left in the summer.
I was amazed, Wally, when he broke through into the first team. And that's enough. I mean, I've spoken to Ross a lot, obviously, covering the B-team games. And he's a really nice boy and all that. I didn't see that breakthrough that he made.
Sometimes you need a bit of luck in football. I think sometimes, like, obviously, the amount of injuries we had at that point, obviously, the European squad was a bit of a disaster that Michael Beale put together, so we ended up having to kind of put every man and his dog on the bench at times just so we could have enough players. Ross obviously come on in the second half, well, just before half-time, wasn't it, against St Mirren when Zach got injured. He did well that game. He then had a couple of good performances after that. And then, like, obviously, the new manager took a real liking to him. He obviously loves his work rate. Obviously, Ross knows me. Like, Ross isn't stupid. Ross will know he needs to work on parts of his games. You know, whether it's maybe like his crossing, whether it's his finishing, whether he maybe needs to get a bit stronger. But yeah, we're still talking about a kid that's played like 15, 20 first team games. He's still very inexperienced at this level of the game, but I like Ross. I've always been a big fan of Ross, even since he was like 16 when he first came over. But at the end of the day, the brutal reality of football, and using that again, is Zach's misfortune was Ross's fortune. You know what I mean? Because if Zach hadn't got injured, would Zach be the guy that's now doing what Ross is doing?
It's such a strange game, football. It truly is. We can't obviously do an academy review volume, though, without bringing... And I want to come to Josh in a wee second. Before I come to Josh, I have to go to Bailey. Bailey Rice. So many supporters online. You see it every single home game. Why is Bailey not on the bench for the first team? Why is Bailey not more involved with the first team? Why is Bailey being forced to play with the B team, being forced to play with the under-18s? So, William, simple question. Why is Bailey Rice not made the jump up to the first team yet?
Well, yeah, again, I've had some discussions with people that will keep private because, I don't want to kind of speak on here about it. But I think in some ways, like, Bailey's kind of been told that he needs to work on certain parts of his game if he wants to make the step up. But yet again, we still forget that Bailey's only 17.
17,
no longer, yeah. 17, you know, it was like sort of 4 months ago, whatever he turned. 17, so he is still very young in that term. But I've been brutally honest from the start. I do believe Bailey Rice will be a Rangers first team player. You know, I think all the natural attributes are there for him to be a top player. But we still have to remember that he is still a young kid and he could still be at high school. Do you know what I mean? That's the kind of thing we're talking about here. Same with Zach. I mean, Zach's still a very young boy. But he just looks like a man mountain when like he stands next to you. Like, he makes everybody feel small when you stand next to him. And that's the thing. Look, there's many others in that group. You've got Archie Stevens, that's got a year left in his contract. He's probably thinking, you know, what's my next step? You've got guys like Aaron Leo that's out of contract in the summer. You've got Robbie.
That's the gutter for me. You know how much I like Leo.
Yeah, look, you've got Robbie Fraser that's out of contract in the summer. You've got guys like Mackenzie Strachan and Lewis Budanowskis, Tyler Pasnik, who's obviously been down in England on trial. So, there's a lot happening. And I do think we will see a lot of change this summer. And that's not just including the coaching staff. I think we will see quite a lot of players move on this summer as well. And that's, yet again, just the nature of football. You know, obviously, we've added a new signing in the last couple of days that one of the guys commented on. They obviously had a small time on the pitch yesterday, but we shouldn't be judging guys based on a small cameo kind of off the bench that he had yesterday. But look, we'll need to see what happens come the summer. But yeah, I think there is certainly a possibility that Zach Lovelace could go in the summer along with one or two others whose contracts are coming to an end in a year's time, because it would be the only time the club would be able to cash in on them, really. Because it would be the right time to do it, because you could then utilise that money to potentially bring in others who we've missed out on previously. And I dare say the club do have their eye on some players right now.
Well, it's what we've done with Rory, wasn't it, when he went to Aston Villa. That's how we got Zach in. Just finishing up then on a player who I think will probably be the next name on the fans' lips as more and more fans get to know him and get to see him. Josh Gentles. I believe he's now made, was it Wales under-18s debut?
Under-17s. Yeah, I think he's played a couple of times for the 17s now. Yeah, again, Josh, a really nice guy.
Grant and Claire.
Yeah, look, really talented. I mean, he scored some unbelievable goals at times, Josh. He seems to have this way of hitting the ball, and the ball starts kind of moving about all over the place. He's probably been moved up to the B team a little bit earlier than what people expected. And yet again, that kind of comes down to like injuries. So like Zach Lovelace's injury, Thompson Ashaka's injury has allowed Josh to then move up and play. So Josh is in a bit of football at B team level. So is Chris Eddy. Callum Adams has made his debut recently, which was absolutely fantastic. The guys that were down at that game at Bolton said that Callum was excellent. But yeah, can we forget these guys are 16. You know, they're still very, very young. And Josh has got a real good knack of being in the right place at the right time. But against some of the first team oppositions, you've seen yet again that word that I use, the brutal side of football, where you're coming up against men in their 20s who can just bully Josh. But you know what? That's a good thing, because nobody knows what he needs to go and do.
Well, the only way to learn how to deal with it is to do it.
Yeah, and that's how it is, mate. And it's one of those things that in football, that is how you learn. Sometimes you learn by mistakes. Sometimes you learn that you're not strong enough, you're not quick enough, you're not tough enough, you're not good in the air, you're not good enough in the tackle, you don't have a good enough range of passing. There's so many things that you could work on in your game, but look, Josh is a talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the things that Josh can do is great. Josh can play through the middle, but he can also play wide. So, I mean, yeah, again, see if Rangers go with that three in the Cup semi-final of Archie, Zach and Josh. Any one of the three of them can play through the middle, and any one of the three of them can play wide. So they can all interchange within that game. Whereas we watch somebody like Chris Eddy, Chris Eddy's main position is a nine. And Chris doesn't want to come out of the nine position because that's where his strength is. But I think that's why Josh has probably moved up a little bit quicker, because he's got that versatility.
Aye.
He can play off the right, the left, and the centre. And I think that's now a big part of modern football. You only need to look at somebody like Dujon Sterling and what he brings to the first team, because he can play a variety of positions. So that is very much a big part of football now. And I don't think it's going to change. I think it's going to become more and more, because a manager will want a player to be versatile. And so instead of carrying a 27-man squad where you need two players for every position, well, you don't really need that if you've got somebody like Dujon Sterling, because he could probably play right-back, left-back, centre-back. He could play as a central midfielder. You could probably even push him wide right or wide left in a wing position if you really had to. So I think that is becoming more of the modern-day kind of, you know, way of having players. You then don't need to carry such a big squad of players, because somebody can offer that versatility.
And we're also seeing that within the Cups as well, who, like you say, can play up front but can also drop back into midfield. He can probably even play wide if he wanted as well.
You know, I've seen Finlay play as a nine, a ten. He's played wide. He's played in central midfield. I mean, Finlay's done a wee bit of everything this season. And that's why, yet again, as I said earlier, Finlay's probably been one of my most consistent performers at 18s level. And even when he's moved up to play for the B team, I mean, he scored in the Challenge Cup against league opposition, Finlay.
Mm-hmm.
So, Finlay's had a remarkable turnaround. This was a kid that at the time wasn't getting offered a professional contract and was told that he would have to do more to get a professional contract. Well, then was probably the best player that season, and Rangers offered him a 2-year deal. So,
and he's grown as well. He's now taller than me, and he was a wee short ass, and now he's now he's dead tall.
And look, that's the thing, mate. Your time's never over. You know, there's something like, I mean, like your brother, for instance, he probably thought his time was up when he left Queen's Park.
Mm-hmm.
But he's found a new place at Dundee United, and look at the forum he's done. Like, you know, he ended up playing for Dundee United's first team. I mean, you wouldn't have thought that 18 months ago, would you?
No, and it breaks my heart every time you mention it. But I better not say that. My mom's watching. Very, very quickly before we go, because I know you need to get something to eat before you go out. Just a final question then. Lancelot Pollard, how's he getting on?
He's basically not at the club anymore. Don't really know the full story. We obviously watched him quite a few times for the under-16s when he signed from Aberdeen. And then just wasn't there anymore. I believe he is still registered at the club. I believe the club still holds his registration. So, I mean, I don't really know what's happening. So, yet again, it's just one of those ones in youth football. I don't really know. And that is the honest truth. I mean, if I knew more, I would say more. But the honest truth is I don't. But I do believe the club still hold his registration from what I was told. That might not be true now, but the last time that I asked somebody about it, that, you know, that was the case. And if somebody wanted Lancelot, I think they would need to pay Rangers a fee, because Rangers paid a fee to get him from Aberdeen.
Bolly, mate, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, look, it's yet again, we said half an hour, let's be 48 minutes, so that's probably my pie gone now. It'll probably need to be something like a bit of toast now, because...
Ah, you'll be fine. I'm sure you've got one of these super-duper microwaves. Listen, we're going to do this again. It won't be as frequent as what it used to be. It used to be every week. We'll try and do a bit more, because it's good to get a bit of information there about the youth teams and let everybody know how it's going.
Yeah, look, so things have just changed in terms of, like, you know, at the moment, I'm just really, really busy. I'm just... You know, I just don't have the time I once did to do as many of the podcasts. I mean,
you just don't love me as much as you used to. That's what it
well,
is.
I still do, to be fair, but it's just, it's tough when life just, like, sort of changes when you start a new job and life becomes a bit different. And obviously, the academy games now are a bit sporadic, and you just never know. It's difficult, but look, it's always good talking about the academy stuff. And we'll try and give people more notice next time, so maybe they can get questions in ahead of time. Today was going to be kind of thrown together. It kind of yesterday we agreed to do this at the game. So yeah, it's been good fun as always.
So thank you, William. Thank you everybody for tuning in. All the folk that watch this back, folk on the audio downloads, etc. We'll try and do a lot more of these throughout what's left of the season. So thank you for tuning in. Your regular programming will be back on Friday night at 7:30, and we'll see you there.
Podcast Network. Here's a summer travel tip. Pack just one pair of shoes that goes with every outfit, like the versatile, perfectly packable tree shoes from Allbirds. From the Go Anywhere Tree Runners to the Sporty Tree Dashers 2 to the Classic Low Top Tree Pipers, Allbirds has a pair of shoes for every style. The best part is, they're all crafted with lightweight, breathable eucalyptus fiber that takes comfy to the next level. Step into summer travel with the perfect travel shoes from Allbirds. Find your pair at allbirds.com. That's ALLBIRDS.com.